The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. You can get the live stream at thetrumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live. And, of course, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. Well, we're broadcasting to you live today on President's Day. President's Day, excuse me. No classes here at the college or at the academy, but we do have some fun activities planned. Even though we're surviving the blizzard, it wasn't quite as bad as they said that it would be. Particularly yesterday morning, we had a good laugh, Andrew Locher and I did, over the lack of snow. But as the day progressed, there was a steady snowfall. I think probably maybe 5-6 inches of snow. But more than that, just the frigid temperatures, and I think it's going to be really cold all through this week. You can see some aerial shots of the campus. From yesterday, I took a little bit of footage from the back of our house. Hopefully I can show that later this week as well. Some of the birds feeding in the bird feeders that I have back behind the house. And I know Oklahoma's not alone here. There's a lot of states really coming under some pretty frigid conditions here for the next few days. And I believe this is just the first wave of the storm. There's another one that I heard last night that's supposed to hit Oklahoma maybe Tuesday evening. So we're staying warm, and we've had some really exciting activities even in the midst of all of this cold weather. Some fun basketball games on Saturday night. And then yesterday morning here on campus, we had our annual speech banquet. 9 AC students delivering speeches, and Joel Hitlicker, one of our speech instructors here at the college, weaving everything together, a nice theme about the truth and hope and wisdom. Lots of content in those speeches on history. And some valuable lessons, too, about how we ought to be thankful and pray for God's miraculous intervention and the importance of family and the importance of following examples that are around us. We had two speeches on Jefferson and Adams, the second and third presidents of the United States, and just this unique rivalry and yet friendship that those two presidents had. Hopefully we can make some of that content available to our members on the PCOG site. We're looking into that here in the next couple of days. So hopefully you can you yourselves can see or hear some of the speeches that our students gave yesterday. On today's show, we've got quite a lot that we want to get through. I thought it would be more of a laid-back show, maybe a lighter show, but just in sifting through some of the news yesterday and then again this morning, there is quite a lot to cover. I think it was the Babylon Bee that said Saturday evening that Donald Trump is the most acquitted president in the history of the United States. 2 times now he's been acquitted. The Democrats, of course, using impeachment to punish their enemies, and yet both attempts, at least against the United States president, both attempts have failed. They have failed. And now you have the Democrats scrambling, really. And we'll talk as we proceed through today's show about just how it's been a devastating week in many ways for the Democrat Party. You look at what's happening to Governor Cuomo in New York. And Governor Newsom in California. And here, coming into the fake Biden presidency, they've got a majority in the Senate. They've got a slim one, but they've got a majority nonetheless. They've got a majority in the House. And yet still, they've got troops protecting Washington, D.C. What are they afraid of? And then they're telling these lies about January the 6th, as I talked to you about last week. And then now the impeachment sham exposed, fully exposed. Here are Democrat attorneys doctoring evidence. These are things that get you disbarred in a normal world. And that was fully exposed on Friday in the short time that Donald Trump's lawyers took to the podium. Fully exposed. And then there's the acquittal on Saturday. I think it was seven Republicans, weak Republicans, that voted with the Democrats, but they couldn't get the two-thirds majority. And President Trump released a statement following the acquittal. He says, "It's a sad commentary on our times that one political party in America is given a free pass to denigrate the rule of law, defame law enforcement, cheer mobs, excuse rioters, and transform justice into a tool of political vengeance, and persecute, blacklist, cancel, and suppress all people and viewpoints with whom or which they disagree." They are using this to persecute, to carry out political vengeance against their political enemies. He's absolutely right here. He said, "I always have and always will be a champion for the unwavering rule of law, the heroes of law enforcement, and the right of Americans to peacefully and honorably debate the issues of the day without malice or without hate." He'll always be a champion of the rule of law. I think it was his attorneys, I believe. If I can find the, it's further on in my notes, but I want to go to that montage. This is a montage that Donald Trump's attorneys played on Friday, and it just contrasts Donald Trump and all the things that he said throughout his presidency about law and order and about supporting and funding the police. And then you contrast it with what Democrats have said. And yet, here we are, we've gone through another impeachment where Democrats tried to make it look like Donald Trump was undermining the rule of law. And now, as I said last week, they're celebrating the police, making this shrine for Officer Sicknick. And that's another fraud as well, the story at least that they told about that will come to that later, but for now, play clip the montage, clip one.
"I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters.
The vast majority of the protesters have been peaceful.
Republicans stand for law and order, and we stand for justice.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
My administration will always stand against violence, mayhem, and disorder.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
I stand with the heroes of law enforcement.
And you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
We will never defund our police. Together, we will ensure that America is a nation of law and order."
"We're in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him."
"I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
Feel like punching him."
"We just want law and order. Everybody wants that."
"I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
We want law and order. We have to have law and order.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful."
"We believe in safe streets, secure communities, and we believe in law and order."
And of all the people you heard there, who gets impeached for incitement? Who gets impeached because he said, "We've got to fight. We've got to fight for our rights. Now do it peacefully." Who gets impeached for incitement? Of all the people you heard there in that montage, well, of course, it's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. I could play other montages for you. His lawyers did on Friday as well. I think one of them went on for 13 minutes. Of all of these Democrats saying that we've got to fight. We've got to fight against our enemies. Over and over again. Donald Trump uses the same language they do, and he gets impeached for it. And he even specifically said, protest peacefully. He said it on January the 6th. Now, the House impeachment managers left that out because that's the way they operate. They go in there and they change tweets. They change the dates on tweets to try to make the tweet fit with their narrative. They doctored evidence to try to prove their case. And then the case falls apart. And they say right at the 11th hour, the last hour, hey, well, we want to call witnesses. And Trump's attorney said, fine, then we're going to call Nancy Pelosi and see what she knew about January the 6th before it happened. And they thought, well, maybe we better not call witnesses. Maybe we better just move on. Another fraud. Another fraud exposed. And yet still you see Republicans, weak Republicans, withdrawing their support from the president. He said in his statement, this has been yet another phase of the greatest witch hunt in the history of our country. And he's right. It's just a rolling coup attempt. Yet another phase. You had people even following the acquittal saying that, well, now the courts can go get him. They still won't let it go. They still want to destroy him and his family. This was Mitch McConnell, a weak Republican. He said over the weekend, there's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. Speaking of January the 6th, a mob was assaulting the Capitol in his name. These criminals were carrying his banners, hanging his flags, and screaming their loyalty to him. Isn't it amazing? They can say, on the other side, they can say whatever they want, and mobs can literally roll through cities and burn them down. And there's not going to be one shrine for the policeman or the law enforcement that tries to protect the precinct or the city or the federal buildings. You know, there were two police officers injured over the weekend in New York City, I believe it was, because of an Antifa mob. Is Nancy Pelosi going to set up a shrine for those two officers? Now, neither of them died, but still, here they are selectively worshiping the memories or the efforts of certain law enforcement officials, even as they work across the board to defund the police. That's not been working so well for the Minneapolis Police Department. You know what they're trying to do now? They're trying to refund the police. They're trying to put money back into law enforcement. Because Minneapolis is turning into some of the crime-ridden places in Chicago and elsewhere. You take away the police, and what are you left with? Well, just anarchy. And that's what Ilhan Omar and people like her want. That's what they were calling for all last year. Now they've got a shrine for a dead officer who died of a stroke a day after, the January 6th protest. Donald Trump said in his statement, no president has ever gone through anything like it. Well, backing up, he said, it's just another phase of the greatest witch hunt in the history of our country. He says, no president has ever gone through anything like it, and it continues because our opponents cannot forget the almost 75 million people, well, it talks about those that voted for the Trump campaign in November. He says, our historic, patriotic, and beautiful movement to make America great again has only just begun. And they know it. The Democrats know it. That's why they keep attacking. They won't stop attacking. They're not going to stop attacking because Nikki Haley comes out and says, well, you know what? We need to distance ourselves from Donald Trump. Or if Mitch McConnell, you heard the statement I just read to you, or all these other rhino Republicans come out and say, you know, he's the problem, Donald Trump, bad orange man. His attorneys, by the way, he's had a hard time just assembling a team because his attorneys are threatened. Gabe Sterling doesn't care about those threats. His attorneys are threatened. And so he pulls together this team, and they did a pretty good job, all things considered. One of his attorneys, he's named Michael Vandervin, and he's just a personal injury lawyer from Philadelphia. He didn't go to Harvard. He wasn't Ivy League educated. He's just your regular old garden variety attorney who goes and argues cases based upon evidence or lack thereof. And when he witnessed what he witnessed last week, he just couldn't believe it. These people are doctoring evidence. They're changing dates. They're acting as if this is an official, a blue check Twitter contributor. They just faked it. They lied. And he had an exchange, this attorney, Michael Vandervin, with someone on CBS yesterday. And listen to what he says after this reporter tries to make it seem like, well, it was just a changing a date and adding a blue check. I mean, really, is it that significant? Is it that big of a deal? And listen to this attorney put her in her... he puts her in her place. It's another total smackdown. And one that this journalist and the rest in the media, the propaganda media, one that they deserve. Clip two.
To be clear for our viewers, what you're talking about now is a check mark that's a verification on Twitter that did not exist on that particular tweet, a 2020 that should have actually read 2021, and the selective editing, you say, of the tapes. Is that the doctored evidence of what you're speaking?
Wait, that's not enough for you? That's not enough for you?
I am not a juror in this trial. What I'm trying to be clear for our viewers is what you're referring to, because not everybody has been following.
It's not okay.
Not everybody, sir, respectfully. I have not said it is okay.
Ma'am, your question is
I want
turned.
To be clear for our viewers.
Listen, what has
I want to be clear for our viewers about what exactly you're saying when you say doctored evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings, and as such, you're asking questions now that are already set up with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored, to be frank with you, and perhaps that will come out one day. But we won this case. What I'm telling you is that they doctored evidence. And I believe your question says, well, it's only a Twitter check and changing a year of a date here. They switched the date of a Twitter a year to try to connect it to this case. That's not a small thing, ma'am. The other thing they did is they put a check mark on something to make it look like it was a validated account when it wasn't. And when they were caught, they didn't say anything about it. They didn't even try to come up with an excuse about it.
That's right. When the lies are exposed, they just move on. They kind of dust off and move on and pretend like nothing ever happened. Just like the New York Times over the weekend, quietly, very quietly admitting, well, with Officer Sicknick, he didn't really die because of getting bashed in the head with a fire extinguisher. He wasn't murdered by Trump supporters, as it turns out. And yet the headlines after January the 6th, well, I read them to you last week. They just lie. And at least the New York Times admitted it, quietly. A lot of times they don't even admit it. They changed, like he explained there, they changed the date to make it fit within the narrative for January the 6th. That's the kind of thing that gets you disbarred if you're living in a lawful society. The New York Times, going back to this story, this is from American Greatness, and it just talks here about how it's really, it's a stunning correction. I mean, this is basically, this was the underlying premise of the January 16 narrative, an armed insurrection where you've got all of these Trump supporters with weapons, and here is a slain officer. It's the only one. Everybody else that died is a Trump supporter. Everybody else that died, they were protesters. So nobody died in the so-called attack except for Officer Sicknick. And he was just bashed to a bloody pulp. That's what everyone in the media said following January the 6th. We've played the montage for you before. Now the New York Times comes out and says, in a stunning reversal, says American greatness. It talks about the new information. The new information since January the 6th. It says here, the paper continued, this is from American Greatness, the paper continued to revise its story within the body of the original January 8th story. Law enforcement officials initially said Mr. Sicknick was struck with a fire extinguisher, but weeks later, police sources and investigators were at odds over whether he was hit. Medical experts have said he did not die of blunt force trauma. He did not die of blunt force trauma. And then at American Greatness, they say, what's missing, however, is how the Times first described what happened to Sicknick. Mr. Sicknick, 42, an officer for the Capitol Police, died on Thursday from brain injuries he sustained after Trump loyalists, this is quoting from the Times' original reporting, after Trump loyalists who overtook the complex struck him in the head with a fire extinguisher, according to two law enforcement officials. So there were two law enforcement officials. Who were they? Well, of course, anonymous sources, right? They were in law enforcement or somehow connected to law enforcement. American Greatness says the account of Sicknick's death was reported as fact, not speculation or rumor. Further, it appears that the anonymous sources were not law enforcement officials, but people close to the police department, which means they could have been anyone from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the inveterate liar U.S. Representative Adam Schiff to the Democratic mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser. See, it's no problem for Democrats to just make it up, to change a tweet, to change a date, to validate someone who wasn't validated. Just do whatever you need to do and then present the evidence. And the way it's going to be reported, you hear it from the major media, the propaganda media, oh, it's overwhelming evidence that he incited a mob to attack the Capitol. They should be disbarred. These are the people that should be going to prison. These are the ones that should be impeached and convicted. It says here, not only was the Times' untrue story about Sicknick's death accepted as fact by every news media organization, from the Wall Street Journal to the Washington Post, political pundits on the Never Trump right also regurgitated the narrative that Sicknick was murdered, as did lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. And as I played for you last week, even as we learned about this new information, you still had Jake Tapper saying the four others who were killed, who were murdered, in other words. It says, in an outrageous effort to create more favorable optics before the impeachment trial, House Democrats honored Sicknick in a rare memorial at the Capitol Rotunda. Joe Biden, in a statement issued after Donald Trump was acquitted Saturday afternoon, repeated the lie about Sicknick. This is quoting Joe Biden. This is quoting Joe Biden after the acquittal. So they're staying with the narrative. Doesn't matter if it's exposed as a lie. Biden said, it was nearly 2 weeks ago that Jill and I paid our respects to Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who laid in honor in the rotunda after losing his life protecting the Capitol from a riotous, violent mob. He lost it. He didn't say murder there. I mean, he chose his words carefully. But he's implying that he lost his life fighting the mob. And we now know that he died the next day because of a stroke. A stroke. And you've got the fake president of the United States continuing with fake news. Fake evidence. Fake evidence of an insurrection. That's a quote from Joe Biden over the weekend. It says, finally, the Times' correction might be one reason why Democrats on Saturday reversed their demand to subpoena witnesses. House impeachment managers cited the original January 8th Times article as evidence in their impeachment memo. They quote themselves, you see. They get something from the echo chamber, and that's part of the case. What's the evidence that you have that he incited an insurrection? Well, the New York Times said it. That's our evidence. And then the New York Times comes along 3-4 weeks later and says, well, quietly, just so you know, quietly, well, there is some new information and we're not quite sure if it was from a head injury. It says further on, now that the Times has essentially retracted its explosive article, will other news organizations, pundits, and lawmakers follow suit? Unfortunately, like so many media manufactured stories about Donald Trump and his supporters, millions, here's the damage. Listen to this. It says millions of Americans already believe that Sicknick's story as truth. Even a Times correction won't change their minds. It won't change their minds. They've got a shrine. They've got a shrine after all. It says the truth in all matters related to Donald Trump is only of secondary concern, if at all. And once again, reporters who egregiously exploited a man's untimely death to score political points against a man they revile won't be held accountable. Another hoax down the memory hole. It's just another hoax that everyone on the left is just going to forget about it. They're just going to forget about it. One of our regular listeners from Abu Dhabi, he wrote me over the weekend saying, during the 2021 sham impeachment trial of President Trump, many conservative pundits say the radical left failed to present a shred of evidence. To the contrary, the radical left presented hours of shredded evidence. Shredded evidence comprised of a doctored tweet, a changed date, a creatively edited video clip, all manufactured and all formerly known as lies. It says Satan, the father of lies, is being exposed. He's being exposed. And in a lot of ways, you see this effort, this latest effort in the rolling coup, it's backfiring on the Democrats, and more we're going to learn, just like with the Mueller investigation, that, like Rush Limbaugh has noted previously, it's not so much to uncover lawlessness in the Trump campaign as it was to cover up their own lawlessness. And this impeachment effort and the lie told about January the 6th, it's designed to cover up the fact that this election was stolen, that the November 3rd election was rigged. That's what they wanted to shut down. You'll recall the real news, the real story going into January the 6th, was that was when President Trump's team was finally going to be able to show the evidence of election fraud. And so the January 6th protest gets out of hand. How much of it was planned in advance? How much was Antifa involved? The very first person arrested was John Sullivan. He's a proud Antifa member. But these are little bits of truth that the propaganda media, they're not interested in the truth. They're trying to cover up the truth. And so to do that, if they change a date or someone's validation or alter this or that or tell a false narrative, hey, the ends justify the means. And so many people just get right on board with the lies. The lies, like American Greatness says, it's just another hoax. Another hoax that goes right down the memory hole. It's been a bad week, though, when you think of the, well, I mentioned Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom and now the impeachment acquittal. And then last week we were talking, too, about the Lincoln Project. I mean, this is a never-Trumper organization that is just, well, I mean, it's, how could it ever go forward from this point when you've got John Weaver, the guy heading it up, grooming all of these boys, a pedophilia ring, and then now we're finding out more financial information about this group that spent just a small fraction of its total income on these attack ads aimed at Donald Trump, and then tens of millions of dollars going where? Well, that's an interesting story in and of itself. And the propaganda media all through last year, leading up to the election, they were just raving about the Lincoln Project. This is from The Federalist over the weekend. It's been one tough week for the left. Impeachment for political theater was squashed. The Never Trump Lincoln Project further imploded. And then further on it says, it just describes what happened here with the Lincoln Project, this journalist back in January that broke this bombshell story about its co-founder, John Weaver. And it says here, a week later, Weaver resigned and admitted to the mounting allegations. And then it says on Friday, Steve Schmidt, he's all over MSNBC, just rabid hatred for Donald Trump. On Friday, Schmidt, co-founder of the Lincoln Project and a former senior campaign advisor in 2008 to John McCain, he also resigned. And then further on, it says, according to several Lincoln Project employees, leadership at the PAC was briefed on 10 of the allegations against Weaver in June of 2020. That's last year. That's 4 or 5 months before the election. The leadership, including Schmidt, briefed on these allegations that Weaver was grooming teenage boys, young boys. And they knew about it. And what were they saying all through 2020? Donald Trump bad. Donald Trump bad. And look at what they were doing. Look at what they were getting away with. And look at how the propaganda media treated them. This organization, this project, the Lincoln Project. Listen to this montage put out by Grabian, clip 8.
Steve Schmidt, you're part of the Lincoln Project. You are destroying this president's incompetence.
When there's one level at which the Lincoln Project is just trolling Donald Trump and inside his head, manifestly.
The Lincoln Project is like watching a Jay-Z Nas rap battle. I mean, they don't let up on this president.
The Lincoln Project, founded by members of the GOP, dedicated to seeing Donald Trump defeated.
And their ads are terrific. They're smart. They're super fast, which is great. They troll Donald Trump.
The Lincoln Project has just been hammering Donald Trump. I think he's starting to feel for the first time, you know, what it likes to be losing.
Take a look at this new ad taunting Trump from the Lincoln Project.
Well, they're out with a devastating new TV ad.
Here's the Lincoln Project's latest ad.
Let's take a look at part of a new ad. I want to play an ad. Here is the latest ad. And when I say new, this one's new. President's certainly not going to like waking up to that new ad.
They're all against you, Mr. President. A devastating ad from the Republican-led group, the Lincoln Project.
I don't think anybody's doubting that you guys are getting under his skin.
Look, that ad is hitting at a core flaw in Donald Trump's id.
And I think even most Democrats would concede that this is a group whose ad-making acumen is in the league of its own.
As the daughter of an ad man, a longtime ad man, I just think that the spots are powerful.
I don't give money to political organizations. I've given money to Lincoln Project because of ads like this.
And that ad was taken, was put together by the Republicans, the Lincoln Project, to take us off the air this evening.
Another fraud. Another fraud exposed under the furious light of truth. They love them. All of the media, the propaganda media, they love the Lincoln Project because these were supposedly Republicans that were really going after Donald Trump. And they knew. They knew. Karl Rove, remember, he said he knew back in the 80s. Now, he's not a member of Lincoln Project. He's a commentator, though. He's a Republican. How many others knew? The leadership we now know, they knew back in June of last year. How many knew even before that? And that's not the only scandal, as I said. This is from the Associated Press. It raises questions about where the rest of the money ultimately went. So they brought in something like $90 million. And the project only, the Lincoln Project only was established, I think, a couple, 3 years ago. And it's just bringing in tens of millions of dollars because there's a lot of rich, powerful people that, in case you didn't know, that hate Donald Trump. $90 million. Now, $27 million of that $90 million, it's been documented. It went toward their attack ads, advertisements, political advertisements. And here's the Associated Press saying, generally speaking, you'd expect to see a major super PAC spend a majority or more of their money on advertisements. And that's not what happened here. The vast majority of the cash was split among consulting firms controlled by its founders. So it went to the companies that these founders of the Lincoln Project worked at, or the companies of these founders at the Lincoln Project. In other words, they were on the take. They were getting money from donors and pocketing it themselves. It says the vast majority of the cash was split among consulting firms controlled by its founders, including about $27 million paid to a small firm controlled by Galen and another $21 million paid to a boutique firm run by the former Lincoln Project member Ron Steslow. Campaign finance disclosures show. It says, but in many cases, it's difficult to tell how much members of the group were paid. That's where it gets a little bit murky. I mean, but we don't need to get into those details. Do we? I mean, because the only one who's evil here is Donald Trump. Let's just come back to square one. This is, you know, how the finances were working, whether or not the others knew about the pedophilia. It's not really a big deal. One final thing from the Associated Press. It says others used the money earned during their time with Lincoln to refinance homes or purchase a new one. Schmidt, he's the one that resigned Friday. Schmidt purchased a $1.4 million mountain modern custom home in Utah with 5 bedrooms, 7 baths, and a stunning view of the Uinta Mountains, according to property records and real estate listings. He's currently trying to resell the home for $2.9 million. That's a pretty good deal over a couple years. He bought it for $1.4 million, and he's trying to sell it for twice as much. That's Steve Schmidt. And these are the people that say it was Donald Trump who was in it for selfish gain, for selfish reasons. These are the same people saying that it's Donald Trump who's corrupt through and through. It's Donald Trump who should be impeached. It's Donald Trump who incites violence. Look at their sins. They don't want to look at their own sins. They can sure see the speck in Donald Trump's eye, but they can't see the beam in their own. What are those news organizations? All the ones raving, just absolutely raving about Lincoln Project. What are they going to say today? Are they going to say we got it wrong? Are they going to apologize to you, the viewer? The truth, as my father has said since November the 3rd, he says we're going to see things exposed that just would shock you. If your thinking is right, the fact that you go into an impeachment trial and present evidence and you doctored it yourself to say what you wanted it to say? It's a fraud. It's a fraud, and it was exposed. Last week we told you about Governor Cuomo and how that his aide admitted to the press that we did doctor the numbers a bit. Because, well, I mean, it was kind of a political thing, and Donald Trump made it political. Donald Trump's the one that tweeted out that, hey, reports are that it's not 6,000 deaths, it's more like 11,000 or 12,000. And Donald Trump was just getting that from the Associated Press, again, reported kind of quietly. Because all through 2020, the Cuomo administration, well, they were perfect. he won an Emmy. This was quite a performance, and it went on for months. He won an award for his press conferences. And what do we now know? We now know that he lied. His aide admitted it last week. Yeah, we lied because we didn't want it to hurt us politically. This is from The Federalist. It says, what conservative media outlets have reported for months is finally being accepted by those on the left. Governor Andrew Cuomo sent as many as 9,000 COVID-19 infected elderly patients back to nursing homes, which led to high rates of deaths in his state among the elderly. We now know it was something like 15,000. As it turns out, when Donald Trump tweeted back in, I think it was August, that, hey, it's not 6,000, it's more like 11,000. He underestimated it. It's 15,000. 15,000 people. And yet, just like with the Lincoln Project, how was the propaganda media treating Andrew Cuomo and this outbreak of COVID-19 positives in all of these nursing homes in New York? How did their reporting go last year? Well, listen to this montage, clip 5.
Even lifelong Republicans tell me, they look at Cuomo and they're like, God, there's a leader.
Governor Cuomo, who has been a leader in calling for science-based ways to fight this coronavirus. The Academy says that he's being recognized for, quote, his leadership during the COVID pandemic and his masterful use of television to inform and calm people around this world.
Tonight, what we can see from Democrats, especially someone like Andrew Cuomo, is a really pointed prosecution of President Trump's handling of the virus.
I commend, Governor Cuomo in taking some of these steps that they already have in limiting capacity.
I have feelings for Andrew Cuomo. I wrote a piece about it.
Having heard you day after day after day at your press conferences, I have to wonder what it's like to be in your shoes with the weight of this responsibility and just the sheer exhaustion you must be feeling right now.
We're lucky now to be joined by Governor Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo is joining us now. His new book, by the way, is entitled American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic.
I hope you are able to appreciate what you did in your state and what it means for the rest of the country now. I'm wowed by what you did, and more importantly, I'm wowed by how you did it. So you just do what's right. I did what was right. I'm comfortable with what I did. I think the facts bear it out. I think the numbers bear it out. I think we saved tens of thousands of lives, but I did what was right.
The facts bear it out, he said. That's true leadership, the way the world views it. This is someone that's just looking at the science. He just did what was right. He just relied on or reported facts. It was all about the facts. And I mean, as one of those commentators said, a masterful use of television. He wrote a book about himself during this crisis. He wrote a book about his leadership. Who does this? Did he talk about the 15,000 in the book? They lied. And now, as the Federalist notes, I mean, there's some pretty powerful Democrats turning on him because it's so obvious. Because the fraud has been exposed. Shocking. Stunning. A stunning turn. And this is from a Democrat. A New York senator, she says, at a time when we need New Yorkers to trust their elected officials the most, the governor and his administration knowingly, or trust their elected officials the most, it says the governor and his administration knowingly chose to lie and play politics with New Yorkers' lives. This is a statement from a leading Democrat. In New York State, that's a Democrat. Here's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, another Democrat, another radical leftist. Listen to what he said over the weekend, clip 3.
It's a really disturbing report. It's very troubling.
We've got to know more. We now need a full accounting of what happened. Think about seniors who their lives were in the balance.
Their lives were in the balance. This report about 15,000 instead of 6,000. De Blasio says, look, that's very disturbing. We need this investigated. We need a full accounting. Listen to Jake Tapper on his show yesterday. You lose, if you're on the left and you lose Jake Tapper, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Here's clip four.
You may recall the Cuomo administration last March told nursing homes, quote, no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19, unquote. Nursing homes took in thousands of seniors with COVID, potentially infecting thousands more. So it's, of course, impossible to exactly ascertain how many nursing home deaths are linked to the Cuomo directive. And certainly part of the reason is that the Cuomo administration's, quote, published nursing home data reflected and may have been undercounted by as much as 50%, according to fellow Democrat and New York Attorney General Letitia James. So Governor Cuomo, who has declined to appear on the show despite dozens of requests over the past year, including this past week, made a bad decision that may have cost lives. And then his administration hid that data from the public.
Why would Cuomo deny Tapper's request to appear on his show? Cuomo won an Emmy. He knows TV. He knows how to do TV. But he won't go on with Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper. That's right. You lose Jake Tapper, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Cuomo's losing a lot of support. No more appearances on his brother's show. No more comedy hour with Chris Cuomo. Now the facts. You see, we're starting to learn the facts, and they do not look good. They're exposing a fraud. A fraud who was celebrated as perhaps the next strong presidential contender from the Democrat Party. Andrew Cuomo. He was brilliant. And if it wasn't going to be Andrew Cuomo, then maybe Governor Newsom from California. He too, a brilliant up-and-coming Democrat leader. And you look at this movement to get him recalled or to call for another vote. Listen to this. This is, again, from The Federalist. It says, the petition to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom reached 1.5 million signatures on Friday, the minimum needed to lead a special election. By March, the recall effort has to have received 12% of signatures from Californians, which will then be vetted by the California Secretary of State. The Federalist's Western correspondent Tristan Justice and staff writer Jordan Davidson. You know what's interesting, too, about this recall? As I was reading somewhere, it might have been in this article, I can't remember, but I was reading somewhere where they're going to try to get more. They have to get 1.5 million signatures, but they're going to try to get more because when the election official goes through all of the signatures, there's always ones that are bad, that are fraudulent. You're always going to get some voter fraud, so to speak. So here are the people trying to get more signatures so that they make sure that they have enough. Because it's just understood, don't you know? It's just understood that when you're talking about millions of votes, there's going to be a lot of fraud, except, dear viewer, November 3rd. That was the most secure, the most perfect election in the history of the United States. Listen to, this is an exchange between, I think, a journalist at the LA Times. Again, a lot of these are leftists. Here's a journalist at the LA Times responding to a question. I forget what the news network is, but you'll hear the reporter and then you'll hear the LA Times journalist respond. Clip six.
Because Gavin Newsom seemed like the kind of person who was grooming to be governor since he was 11 years old. It was just a path he was on. As soon as Jerry Brown got out of the way, it was Gavin Newsom. How did this whole recall thing touch off? Was there a moment where it began to look really viable?
I mean, there's one simple word. It's COVID-19. I mean, that really, I think, has fueled a lot of this. But in the in terms of Newsom, he won election to the governorship in 2018 with 62% of the vote. I mean, that would seem bulletproof in American politics. But COVID-19, the rules that his administration has put in place, largely needed to put in place in some cases, concerns that there was an inconsistency in the rules, that it was hard to understand the science, that we didn't understand the data. You mentioned that one thing. Boy, images in politics are so explosive, and that those images of him sitting at that restaurant, very upscale, fancy restaurant in the Napa Valley, that didn't help. That felt as though there was a hypocrisy moment going. And one of the things I learned about the recall I mentioned a moment ago, the 2003 recall here in California, is these things have a tendency to snowball.
These things have a tendency to snowball. There's a lot of Californians very unhappy with their governor. Now, some would say it. There's no way. It's a deep, dark blue state. Nothing like this has happened. Not since 2003. But that's, you know, that's less than 20 years ago. But as this journalist brings out, these kinds of things begin to snowball. And Newsom is seen by many as a hypocrite, because he had that maskless engagement at that ritzy restaurant in the Napa Valley, as was explained there. Even as businesses are being destroyed because of his policies. Same with Governor Cuomo. Well, we're not here to predict what's going to happen one way or another. But I just want to bring you back to one of the points my father made immediately following November the 3rd, that God is going to expose corruption, and we're just seeing it all over the place. This is from his most recent article, the one with Joe Biden on the cover. I believe this is March. I had to track this down online. It says here, and if it's proved sometime soon that the election was stolen and God ensures that this is exposed before the world, wouldn't that make President Trump or Mr. Trump president? He's talking about God's perspective and the way God views it. You've got the fake president in there, but I mean, who is the real president? Who is the real leader? Further on, he says, if God believes the election was stolen, he must have a plan to take care of it, perhaps a lot quicker than 4 years. It might be 4 years or 4 days. I don't know. This is my father's latest article. God is invested in this, he says. I still believe, listen to this, I still believe he's about to do some massive exposing of how the election was stolen and other crimes the radical left is committing. It's quite a statement. Some massive exposing of election fraud and other crimes the radical left is committing. And you see all these articles in conservative media over the last few days. The American Thinker, I read American Greatness, the Federalist piece, and they're all saying, wow. Wow, I mean, supposedly there's a Democrat in the White House. I guess they control the Senate. I guess they have the House as well. Seems like they've got everything. They control all the levers of government. And yet, what a disastrous week. What a disastrous week it's been for the radical left, for the Democrat Party. I still believe he's about to do some massive exposing of how the election was stolen and other crimes the radical left is committing. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.